This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Radiantly Feminine podcast, where we embrace elegance, confidence, and the power of true femininity. I'm your host, Mookie. So whether you're looking to refine your presence, elevate your mindset, or even navigate relationships with ease, this is going to be your space to grow and glow. So sit back, relax, and let's unlock your feminine power together. Hey, beautiful souls, and welcome back. Today, we're talking about a lie that has been sold to us for far too long, and that is how lust is equal to love, that desire is devotion, and that someone wanting your body is the same as someone cherishing your soul. It's not. And when I say it's a lie that's been sold to us, I don't mean through words. I'm going to assume that we technically all know this, but what's being portrayed as love is actually lust, whether this is in movies, shows, social media, etc. Take, for instance, Love Island. That show needs to be called Lustful Island or Infatuation Island because being able to hop from one person to the next is not a flex and is definitely not love. So let's talk about it. We need to discuss the messaging, the myths, the moment you were finally able to tell the difference between the two so you can finally reclaim your peace, your power, and your future. I noticed that love was being pushed and portrayed as love. And after pondering on this, I came to the conclusion that it's all because lust is very easy to sell. Whether you agree or disagree, please comment on this episode. I would love to hear your thoughts about this topic. But back to what I was saying, I think that because lust is more visual, more immediate, and more emotionally charged, it can grab people's attention faster. And in the world that we live in, where everything is on demand, our society is wired for short-term dopamine hits. And lust helps provide that. From groceries, entertainment, information, a date for the night, we are able to get literally everything at the snap of our fingers. And sex appeal, it grabs attention. It sells and it grabs views. I truly believe that we are overstimulated and underconnected with one another. Look at it this way. There's so many dating apps out there, but none of them focus on emotional depth, just appearances. And social media pushes us to perform attraction instead of forming genuine bonds with one another. And it leaves us all in a cycle of needing quick validation. I know all of the mainstream culture has been glamorized in my life from a very young age. I grew up watching fairy tales, and I love watching romance movies. To this day, even after this episode, I'll probably watch another romance movie. I'm not saying it's bad. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't watch or like these types of movies. But they do idolize fantasy over reality. And they idolize grand gestures, drama, and intensity. And it's important to keep all of this in mind so you do not idolize these things as well. We barely ever see the quiet moments of love, or the patience, or the healing, or the slow building. So yes, the sparks, the butterflies, they do feel like love, but they are actually just a hormonal reaction. It's lust. Because lust just mimics intimacy, the eye contact, the flirting, and even that sexual connection can feel so deep until that high fades away. But real love, it's slower and it requires depth, nuance, and trust. It's not as easy to package in a 15-second reel. In other words, love is delayed gratification, and real love develops after the spark, when you actually see the person for who they clearly are. So to sum it all up, lust will sound like, I want you right now. And love will sound like, I choose you, even when it's not easy. And I think it's honestly sad, but many people grow up thinking love should feel like chaos. But the truth is, it often feels like peace, or it should feel like peace. What this means is real love requires emotional maturity, while lust doesn't. And that's why lust is more dominant in society. It's easier to market, and it's easier to manipulate, and it's easier to monetize. But real love, it requires doing the inner work. And that sadly doesn't sell as quickly. Now, I want to be clear, lust is not evil. It's very natural to be physically attracted to someone. It's human to feel that spark. But here's the problem. Lust is often sold to women as love, especially in social media and music, and even in childhood fairy tales. And for the people who have a fragile sense of self-worth, lust is going to feel super powerful. If you're someone who hasn't felt fully seen or valued in your life, you could actually use lust as proof that you matter. But the truth is, you're just using it as a shortcut to feel desired. So this makes people chase intensity rather than wanting to build something that will actually last. A classic example of childhood fairy tale where love is mistaken for lust, even though it's very subtle, is The Little Mermaid. And this can be the original story. I think it's by Hans Christian Andersen. and the Disney version, don't quote me on that. But in The Little Mermaid, she falls in love with the prince after seeing him, knowing very little about him, but she decides she's in love with him. She gives up her voice, her family, and her entire identity to be with this guy, based purely on desire, on fantasy, and an idealized version of who he is. Again, she has no idea who this guy is. She just idolized him. And the prince, on the other hand, appreciates her beauty and companionship, but ultimately, he tries to marry someone else, someone he, at that time, felt truly connected to. And Ariel's longing is portrayed as romantic love, but in reality, it's more like infatuation or lust. And that's an obsession with the idea of him rather than a deep mutual relationship. The movie subtly pushes the idea that sacrifice and suffering equals love. But the truth is, real love requires reciprocity, it requires communication, and it requires authenticity, not just fantasy or physical attraction. I talked about this in my last episode. If you're somebody who has to manipulate people into liking you or being in a relationship with you, it's not real. It's built on a fantasy. So you can't really be in a relationship or a true authentic relationship if you do not actually like yourself. And this is why I talk so much about working on yourself before getting into relationships, especially before getting into relationships, because how are you going to love somebody if you don't even love yourself? And we're taught that if someone wants you, they must value you. That if someone can't stop thinking about you, it means they're in love. But the truth is, lust is about possession, and love is about presence. Lust sounds like, I want to experience you, and love will sound like, I want to know you. In other words, lust consumes and love commits. And that distinction matters, especially for the feminine heart that longs to be seen, that longs to feel safe and deeply supported. Okay, now that we've gotten through that part, it's time to start calling it what it is. It's propaganda. We're bombarded with messages that make confusion between love and lust feel normal. Think about it. How many movies show the couple falling in love after one night together? How many music videos show obsession, possession, or seduction framed as romance? The faster someone wants you, the more real, and I say that with air quotes, the more real it's supposed to feel. But urgency is not intimacy, and we have to stop falling for the lie that being desired is the same thing as being loved, because desire fades while love builds. And sometimes Love doesn't even start with a spark. Sometimes it starts with peace, and that's okay. And I want to talk about hookup culture for a second. Hookup culture is not inherently bad for everybody, but many people experience emotional burnout, confusion, and even spiritual emptiness from it. I personally think it can be super problematic, especially when it's ignored, because it usually prioritizes physical connection over an emotional connection, and that's because it emphasizes instant gratification over a meaningful bond. And remember I said, it's about delayed gratification. And sex without intimacy or emotional connection is encouraged. I just really dislike hookup culture because it promotes casual interactions without acknowledging that humans aren't always wired to detach easily after physical closeness. And I personally don't think it's healthy, physically or mentally. And over time, that constant hooking up can numb us to the beauty of real connections, and it makes it harder to discern love from lust. Now, when hookup culture promotes all of those negative behaviors, it simultaneously normalizes emotional unavailability. And I'm not saying that it's the only reason people become emotionally unavailable, but it teaches people to avoid vulnerability. It teaches people to ghost instead of communicate, and to actually fear commitment. And this creates a generation of emotionally guarded individuals who think love is way too risky and sex is just easier to navigate than feelings. Now, if you're somebody who participates in hookup culture and you notice you are feeling emotionally unfulfilled, or if you're seeking validation through physical connection, or you're even ignoring your inner needs to keep things light or to play it cool, I want you to reevaluate participating in hookup culture, because we are sacred beings and our bodies are not just for pleasure. They are also for connection and for creation and expressing our highest selves. Now, I do not say all of this to shame you, because hookup culture isn't wrong if it's aligned with your values and your emotional capacity, but it is dangerous when it's a coping mechanism or a default behavior based on cultural conditioning. And I have a reflective question for you guys. I want you guys to ask yourself, am I choosing this connection because it nourishes me, or because I've been conditioned to settle for the illusion of intimacy? I will leave this question down in the episode description if you want to come back to it or use it as a journal prop. Just anytime you need to come back to this question, especially if you find yourself in a situationship. Now, I want you guys to raise your hand if you have ever had someone pursue you intensely. They call, they text, they compliment you, they say all the right things, and you feel swept up. And then their energy starts to shift after they get what they want, whether that was your body, your vulnerability, your trust, your attention, or your energy. They start to withdraw. And now you're left wondering, did I imagine all of this? Was I just a moment or not something meaningful? No, babe, you did not imagine this. You were just being pursued with lust and not intention. It's not your fault. It's the conditioning. And that is the whole reason I felt called to talk about this today. I want you guys to know I'm very type A, especially when it comes to planning. So I have a whole list of topics that I want to talk about this season. And it just hit me to write a short outline for this episode and just record, because I really want to shed light on this, on the propaganda and the conditioning, because I often think about why the dating world is so problematic at this time. And it's because the conditioning we have all fallen victim to one way or another. We've all been taught to confuse being wanted with being worthy, but you are worthy even when no one is chasing you. When you are being pursued through lust or infatuation, it's primarily physical or sexual attraction. It's often surface level and based on appearance or fantasy. It can be intense, urgent, and obsessive, and it doesn't require emotional connection or deep knowing. And infatuation, it's a state of being carried away by intense emotion. You will also idolize the other person or situation and just be in your head about the whole thing. It can include both lust and emotional obsession, and it's typically short-lived and not rooted in reality. So an example is, you'll feel really strong feelings for them, even though you barely know them. That is infatuation and sometimes lust. Now, love is built over time. It's built through trust, shared values, and emotional intimacy. It involves acceptance, patience, and mutual care. It goes beyond attraction or obsession, and it is steady and grounded in reality. And I say all of that to say lust and infatuation are cousins. They're both fast burning and often mistaken for love, but love requires a much deeper foundation, a much stronger foundation, I should say. And I want to give you guys an example of infatuation so you can further distinguish this from lust. Penelope from Bridgerton, if you watch Bridgerton. Let's think back to Penelope's feelings for Colin early in the show. I'm talking about season 3. She admired him from afar for years. She built up an idealized version of who he was in her mind. And to her, he was charming, kind, and adventurous. And yes, she did see some things on the outside, but she never really was able to get to know him. So she had a crush on him for many years. And she would watch him. She would think about him constantly and longed for his attention. But there's no real mutual connection or emotional intimacy yet. So you can't call it love because she doesn't even know him and he doesn't even know her, because she barely knew how he saw her. And she barely talked to him to get to know him outside of the version she created in her head. So yes, her feelings were driven by fantasy and by longing, not real love. She's more in love with the idea of Colin than him as an actual man. And we'll call this the infatuation trap. Penelope romanticized everything he did, even when he was oblivious or thoughtless. And she became emotionally crushed when she overheard him mocking the idea of courting her, because that was a moment that shattered her fantasy. And that kind of emotional roller coaster is typically for infatuation. It has highs, it has lows, and it is often built on illusion. But as the season progresses and they spend real time together, their dynamic changes. So it did turn into love, I think. They had a baby. I'm sorry, I'm getting mixed up. Colin, he did start to see her fully. He did fall in love with her wit, her passion, and her vulnerability. And Penelope begins to communicate more authentically and not just, you know, pine after him from the sidelines. And that's when their connection becomes rooted in mutual understanding, not just admiration or physical chemistry. And that, my friends, is infatuation. It can feel intoxicating, but it's often one-sided, it's idealized and fragile. And real love develops when two people truly see and accept each other, flaws and all. Let me tell you something I wish more people knew. Real love is not chaotic, it's not confusing, and it's definitely not urgent. Love is going to feel safe, it's going to feel grounded and respectful, and it doesn't need to be rushed or performed. And most importantly, love doesn't just want your bodies. It wants your thoughts, your fears, your heart, and your growth. And when someone truly loves you, they don't want to consume you or control you. They want to co-create something with you. They want to show up consistently, not just when they're aroused or lonely. I want to give you guys a quick analogy. Anybody who knows me knows I love a good analogy, but infatuation is like fireworks, bright, loud, thrilling, and over before you know it. Real love is like a fire in a fireplace, warm, steady, and built over time. Now, before we end the episode, I want to share a few steps to help you stay rooted in your truth and protect yourself from falling for less disguised as love. Because, you know, that's the whole point of this podcast, is to help you all grow. I like to point out things that I see in my waking life, but I also want to share tips and tricks and steps to help you guys evolve. Okay, so I have 5 steps that I would like for you guys to just keep in mind. And I will, again, put this in the episode description so that you guys can come back to this, but you can also save the episode if you need to. The first one is pay attention to consistency. Lust is intense but short-lived. love grows with time. So you can think of this as love bombing, and love bombing can show up in many different ways, but it's often short-lived and it's rushed. Number two, ask, do they only show up when they want something, or are they invested in your well-being? Number three, notice your body. Love feels like peace. Lust often feels like adrenaline. Don't confuse the rush for revelation. Number four, use your voice. Ask real questions. Don't be afraid to define what you want and watch how they respond. This one is very good because I always ask people what their intentions are. Don't be afraid to ask those real questions because it's important to know who you're dealing with. You have to use discernment when you are letting people into your lives. The last one, number five, remember your worth. You don't have to earn love by being desired. You are love. So I just want to say that if you've fallen for less in the past, you're not weak, you're not broken. You are human and you were operating from the information you were given. Trust me, from somebody who's been there, I know. But now that you've listened to this episode and you know better, you can do better. You can pause, you can breathe, listen. You can wait for someone who knows the difference between wanting you and choosing you. And if you need that further support, go ahead and follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I am somebody who is personally taking a break from the dating scene. So if you do need that support, I'm here for you. And if you are taking a break from the dating scene or you're thinking about it, what you can do while you wait, you can love yourself the way you've always deserved to be loved, fully, patiently, and without conditions. So before we wrap up this episode, I do want to leave you guys with a quote. Lust is loud, love is steady. Learn to listen for the quiet. So let the rest of the world chase sparks. You, my love, deserve the entire flame. If this episode spoke to you, do me a favor, share it with another friend who needs the reminder. Be sure to leave a review, follow the podcast, and come find me on Instagram. Again, I'm here to support you guys, especially if you are taking a break from the dating scene. We can just be supportive of one another. Because I love walking this journey with you all. So until next time, stay soft, stay exclusive, and stay in your feminine energy. Thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.